Do you bring it every time?
Yeah,
mostly. So next time we'll be more about the Oh, sure, yeah.
Running it, and it's,
I just didn't, you know, it should have a yellow bar across there, shouldn't it? I don't know what it is. Maybe I'll just try closing this. Yeah, I mean, I can. I have a question. I have a sample question, but I wanted to do it impromptu because I have my questions on here. You see, otherwise I have got to code them into this system as well. I can try it with a response list. Okay, so that's. Oh, wait a minute. I need a number down here, don't I? Like how long is it? Okay. All right. So I can do that. All right. Well, that's all. Thanks very much. Okay, yeah, let's get started. So I hope you've all taken a look at the coursework webpage and preferably taken a look at the document as well. And hopefully you've come with some questions. However, if you haven't done that yet and you have questions later on, then I will set up a bulletin board, and that's the best place to post questions, because if you've got a question, probably somebody else has the same question. And you know, if we do this in email, it's a very inefficient way of doing things. So I'll email you as soon as that bulletin board is up. Until it's up, if you, you know, if you have a question that can't wait, then yeah, do feel free to email me. Okay, so a couple of housekeeping issues. It would be good to have a couple of course representatives. So the job of a course representative is, you know, it's very informal. It's basically so that anybody in the class who has an issue that they want to brought up, but they maybe don't want to bring it up directly with me personally, can go and talk to the course representative, and that way there'll be some anonymity. So the course representative won't, you know, will say some people have been saying, you know, come and talk to me and say, you know, some people have been complaining about this or suggesting that. And that way, you know, you can all feel free to kind of be as positive or negative as you like without, you know, having to, you know, do that to my face. It's also quite a good idea to, once we have course representatives, for you to sort of give them feedback, even if it's not a complaint, even if it's not a big deal, because the course representatives will then thereby get an overview of kind of what's going on with the whole class. And, you know, that's very helpful in terms of improving things, both as we go through the through this semester and, of course, for following students in following years. So, yeah, if anybody would like to do that, is there anybody who knows they'd like to do that? No? Okay, we have one. Great. If you could afterwards just come and give me your name. Anybody else who would like to just let me know. Okay, we have two. Excellent. I think that's all we need. Yeah, it's probably better to have a smaller number than a large number. Good. Okay, so let's see. Yeah, copies of slides are on the course webpage, and if you want them, so they're in the slide form, the big form, or they're in the handout form, 4 to a page, and you can print out, you know, whichever is most convenient for you. We don't print them out anymore because we found that when we did that, most of the copies didn't get picked up, so it was just very wasteful. And what we're going over today is about the coursework, so it's not in itself examinable, but everything, all the other material that's on slides and so on will be examinable. Okay, now let's see if we can try this clicker thing. How many people have got clickers? Okay, so most of you. I'd encourage everyone else to get them. Let me, don't respond to this yet, because I need to give you a number. Let me see, how do I do this? Okay, so there's your number, 51, that you need to register to. And these are the responses that you can make. And actually, I've set this up as numbers rather than, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rather than A, B, C, D, E. And I need to start this. Okay, and you have 30 seconds to respond. And of course, I'm not expecting some of those responses, because if you don't have your clicker, you're not going to be able to respond. Okay, so we've got, I see a countdown. Okay, let's see what we get. All right, so okay, very funny. Okay, so how many have we got here? 17, 18, 20, okay. Good, all right, so that's working, and I'll integrate some of those into the lectures. So does someone have a question? No? Yeah, let's go back to this. So if you've looked at the coursework, you'll probably have seen that it's not like most of the coursework you've had before. So I'm going to explain a little bit why it is the way it is. In software engineering, there's a component of it that we're going over in the lectures and that the readings that you'll do is about, that is to do with the conceptual development. What are the ideas behind software engineering? How have they evolved? What's the reason that people do software engineering the way they do it? So that's sort of the theory. But in fact, software engineering is a very practical, like all forms of engineering, is a very practical task. And if you came out of this course and this degree without having actually done any of the practice, then you would have been you wouldn't have been correctly taught for a computer science degree. So this is an opportunity for you to get comfortable with working with a big system. And you, the only way to do that is actually practice it. So the assignment is a way to give you the opportunity and make it a requirement that you actually do that. Now, you will be coming to this class with different kinds of backgrounds. Some of you will probably be good programmers already. Some of you may be just kind of beginner programmers. Some of you may have worked with big systems before to some extent. Most of you probably haven't. So this assignment is structured so that you can kind of pick something that's at your level of difficulty. So what you're going to be asked to do is to pick an open source project and do some work on it. Those can be enormous systems or they can be quite small systems. So each of you will pick your own open source project to work on, and nobody can pick the same, no two people can pick the same one. And that allows us to get around issues to do with plagiarism and me knowing who's done what. So another aspect of software engineering is it's almost always done in teams, which means people are talking to each other all the time. So when you're doing this, I want you to actually be working together, but we have to assess you individually. So by working on individual projects but helping each other with that, we can achieve both ends. And obviously you can't test this kind of stuff under exam conditions, so it's for credit coursework. Okay, so let's take a look at the document, and we can take a look at the sites. So this is the document. I'm not sure if how visible that's going to be, but let me. Yeah, what's the best way to do this? It's probably better to do it this way. This is more visible. Okay. So the deadlines for this are the end of week 4, so that's the 14th of October, and the end of week 8. So it's in two parts. And just as a reminder, I'm sure you're familiar with this from last year, that late coursework isn't accepted except in exceptional circumstances if you've got a very good reason for it. And you can look up on the course guide what constitutes good reasons. And if you do need an extension and you believe you're entitled to one, then you should submit that request by the ITO response form, not to me personally, not to the year organizer or anything like that, to the ITO response form. And the UG2 year organizer is the person who will okay that or not. I'm not allowed to give you extensions. Okay, so after you've handed this in, I'm expecting to mark that and give you individual feedback within 2 weeks after the deadline. But there are about 100 of you signed up for this year, and so that's somewhat ambitious, so I might not completely achieve that, but I will do my best. And what you should expect to get is some comments on your individual work and, you know, what you've done. They'll probably be fairly brief, but they will be targeted at you know, your contribution. Okay, so in terms of sort of the time that is allocated to this, and so you should be thinking about how much time you should be spending on it, this is worth 25% of the mark for the whole course. So it's notionally 25 hours to do both parts of this. So each of these assignments is going to be marked out of 10. So you can work out, therefore, that each mark is worth 1.25% of your overall mark. I would encourage you to not focus too much on marks for this. You should do something that interests you. I'll go on to that in a little more detail. So there's a particular learning outcome that is associated with this, using a modern IDE, integrated development environment, to build a Java system, making appropriate use of configuration management, testing, and other appropriate tools. And you know, it might contribute to other learning outcomes depending on what you do. So to talk about collaboration, so it's given here the ways in which you are, it is okay for you to work. So you can discuss your work with other people, and you're encouraged to do that. But you should explain it when you submit who helped you. Okay, it's perfectly fine to get help from other people, but you should explain who helped you and, you know, more or less how they helped you. I don't need reams and reams of this. I just need a, you know, a short description, so that I've got an idea of, you know, I need to know what you did and what you got from other people. Obviously, you mustn't submit anybody else's work, so you don't copy, don't pick out any of their words, don't pick out any of their diagrams. Obviously, you don't use any of their code. Now, with code, it's a little bit, I don't want to be too absolute about not using anybody else's code. If somebody shows you how to do something in Java involving, say, writing a loop and, you know, having a proper termination condition, then, you know, that can be a very small piece of code. And if that shows up in two people's bits of code, it's, you know, I'm not going to argue about that. But I don't want to see, you know, large sections of code that are copied. Now, to encourage you to actually collaborate with each other and help each other, I'm going to award bonus marks for people who do that. So if somebody submits in their coursework that they've received help and what kind of help they've had from somebody, then that person who gave the help is eligible to get some bonus marks. Now, there's not a lot of bonus marks. It's just two extra marks. And, you know, you need to have helped several people to be, you know, to be getting that. Okay, so this is a slightly unfamiliar way, probably, to run coursework, and you may have questions about what it's okay to do and not to do, and, you know, just ask me if that's the case. So the first part, you need to do some preparation, and what you should do is find an open source project. And the best place to start for that, that you'll work on, and the best place to start for that is SourceForge. The URL is given here. And what you should do is find a package that is you think is interesting. So probably that means this package is offering some capability or some service that you think is somewhat interesting. Either you think what it's offering is interesting, or you think the way it's probably built is interesting. Anyway, it needs to be something that interests you, otherwise you're going to have a hard time just getting involved in it. It should be something that's reasonably active, so not, you know, projects that nothing's happened for, you know, over a year, if they haven't had anything happen within the last six months or so, then they're not very active. And they need to be projects where there's more than one person preferably two or three or more, that are using, are contributing. So we'll take a look at the website in a minute, so you can get an idea of how you can figure out who's, you know, how many people are contributing. It needs to be in Java, and ideally it's something that you expect is going to present you with some challenge. So let's take a look at, if we can find it. So this is SourceForge. Probably a fair number of you have seen this before, and you can see there's a whole lot of projects of the month that are listed here. You can also go to this URL, sourceforge.net/top, and that'll show you the top projects by various different kinds of measures. So here we have most active this week, most active since, you know, time began, most downloaded, and so on. You know, most looked at in various ways. So if we looked at, say, most active this week, then you can, you know, you'll get a whole list of projects. And if you start clicking on these, let's say, for example, we clicked on this one, then it'll tell you, there should be a summary of what this does. So this is to do with various kinds of images and things to do with, this is to do with healthcare. And so you can then go to the develop area, and the first thing you should look at is, what's the programming language? Okay, so this is C#, which is Java-like, but it's not Java. C++, Visual Basic, and so this wouldn't be one that would be suitable. So that's, you know, one way you can sort of quickly rule projects out. If we go and look at something like, I think this one is, I looked through some of these earlier. So you look at the project site, and this is a Java project. And you can see over here the list of admins. Okay, so these are the people who are administering this project. So that it's got 5 admins. So, you know, this is not a small thing. This is because what you have in these projects is people who are kind of centrally involved in administering it. And then typically you have a whole lot of other contributors. And if we clicked on this, we could see a list of all of them. So this has got quite a lot of people involved, and probably, it's a bigger kind of system, and, you know, you'd only want to take this one on if you're fairly confident that you can deal with a bigger kind of system. So if you're kind of, you know, starting out with doing this sort of thing, then you might not want to pick something this big. The way you can find out, another way you can find out, other than looking at the lists of the number of contributors, is you can look and see under what's happening, code commits. So this gets a listing every time somebody commits a new a code change to the project, and you can see the list down here. And you can see who's done the committing. So this has got at least these 2 guys working on it. So you know this is something that would qualify. If you see under the commits that there's only one person committing, then it's probably not really a multi-author setup. You can also look at file releases, which is slightly different, but it again, I think there are Now this is only, there's only one person doing that. The code commits are the more reliable test of whether it's multi-author. Okay, so there are a variety of ways of navigating around SourceForge, and you know you'll discover those. But these are some ways of getting in there. Let's go back to this. So SourceForge is the place to start, and it's probably where most of you will find your projects. But you can also pick a project from Google Code, and there's a URL given for that, or from Eclipse Labs, and there's a URL given for that as well. You've all got to select different packages, and you know there are 100,000 of them or more, so that shouldn't be a problem. So you need to pick it and then download it, build it, check it, play with it, and once you've decided that you're going to work on it, then you should register it. And the registration link is on the web page here. When you're ready to commit something, you go to this web page, and somebody's already done this. You select whether it's from SourceForge, Google, or Eclipse. You type in the project name, which is almost always just lowercase, but not always, and your name, and click choose. And the script that's running behind this will go and check whether that it can find the web page associated with that project. And if it can't, then it'll tell you, I can't find that page. And if you're convinced that it actually exists and there's something wrong with this script, then you know, email me about it. But it could well be that you mistyped the project name or something like that. Anyway, if you're successful, then you'll get listed here. If you pick a project that someone else has picked, then it won't let you do that either. And yeah, try to be pretty sure that you're going to actually work on that project before you register it, because once you've registered, the only way to change it is to email me, and then I have to go in and change it by hand, which is just very time consuming. Okay, so once you've picked your project, then you can start doing the work that's actually going to get you some more marks. So you need to explain, well, it's described here, but why did you pick the package? What's the package for? What platform you built it on? And you need to give me the exact details, which operating system and so on, which versions of Java, that kind of thing. And if you encountered any problems, then, tell me what they were and how you solved them. And some sort of evidence that you actually ran this package. So if it's got a GUI, which almost all of them will have, you can take a screenshot with something that indicates that you were running that. And then I think I'm probably not going to go through all the details of this because we're going to run out of time, but you can read about what you need to do. When you write this up, don't write more than 1,000 words for any of the three questions given here. And that's way more than is needed, 1,000. You should be able to, get full marks with a question of with an answer of only 500 words. So less is more. And when you submit, you should use the submit system, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. The details given here, but what I want is an HTML web page called index.html that links to everything else that you need. So I want you to explain in your web page, your index.html, what you've done, and put links to all the other files that I might need to be able to see, and then upload those as all of them to the submit system, so that I can just go to your area in the submit system, load up the index page, and I've got your whole submission there in my browser. And don't assume that I'm on a big screen or anything like that. If I'm on a laptop, then you know, it should, your web page should look good. But I don't need to see any fancy HTML coding or anything like that. It's, you know, a basic web page is fine. If you want to do something fancy, that's okay. And have a look through part two, what you need to do there. This is more open-ended. And I'm not going to go through this now, but if you have questions about that, then we can talk about those another time. Okay, and again, submit the same way. There's some guidelines on marking. So, you know, if you have done this in a reasonable fashion, then you're definitely going to get a passing mark. You know, this isn't a hard coursework to get a passing mark on. So it's much more important that you do something that you, A, learn something from, and B, is interesting. So have fun with it. Okay, let's go back and... where are we? Look at this. Okay, in terms of where you do this, you can do it on DICE. If you do it on DICE, you may find, especially if you're working with a large project, that you don't have enough disk quota. So what in the past, what a lot of people have done is they bring a USB stick and they keep the system on their USB stick. And that's a very practical thing. If you can't do that for some reason and you really need more disk quota, then put in a request to the computing support form. You can work on your own machine if you've got one, but then obviously there are issues of backup, and you know, losing your work and being late with submitting because your disk crashed is not considered a good reason, because what you should have done is you should have backed up all the important files to somewhere else. And you know, the ideal place to back up the important files, the source code files, for example, that you've worked on, not going to be very big. There's not going to be that much of it. So you can just back it up to your home directory and on DICE, and that's safe. So if you work on your own machine, make sure you back it up. And what I would encourage you to start picking your project right, the package you're going to work on right away. Once you've got the package selected, then you can sort of relax a little bit and look at you know, well, when does this assignment actually need to be done, and how am I going to schedule that with everything else? But the selecting a package to work on is something that could take you a lot more time than you think. For most of you, it's probably going to be very straightforward, but it could take you a lot more time than you think. So that's kind of the unknown bit that you should try and get done early. Now, what should you do when you download this package and you follow all the instructions to install it, to build it, and it doesn't build? So there's a whole lot of different things you can do. The first thing that you should do is you should look at the error message carefully. Read it several times. Try and think about, what is this message actually trying to tell me, and where could it have come from? And that, you know, may give you some help. If there's documentation, read it. Maybe you didn't actually build it the way you should have done. One method that is surprisingly good for coming up with answers to why there's a problem is just to cut and paste the error message into Google, and it's amazing how quickly you find somebody else has had exactly this problem, and here's how to fix it. You can ask other people for help, and you know, this is one of those situations where just telling somebody else what you did, even if they haven't got a clue what you did wrong, just the fact of you having to explain it to them makes you go through your thinking steps in a much more explicit way than when you just kind of think it through in your head. And that being explicit about those steps, it's quite often the case you go, I missed such and such, that you just wouldn't think when you're thinking in your head. So explaining to other people, check what Java version you've got, whether it's the right one. You're probably going to be using Eclipse for this or possibly NetBeans. So you can try building from the command line instead of from within Eclipse. Maybe it's a problem with your Eclipse setup. You can come to the office hour, which I've listed on the web page, and ask me for help. But don't expect miracles. I mean, I'm not familiar with 100,000 SourceForge projects. You can also ask on the bulletin board, which I will set up. And you can also go to the project's mailing list, or you can email the project's owner, but exhaust the other avenues first, because the people who are contributing to these projects are quite experienced software developers typically, and they are not going to be too enthralled with having a lot of newbies asking them what they consider silly questions. So that's kind of a last option. Okay, in terms of making a contribution, it's detailed in the handout that you can print off. And when you're describing what your contribution is, you need to make sure that your what you say is about your particular contribution and not about what would be a good idea for software engineering projects in general. Part two is very, as I said, is very open, but it needs to be software engineering. So as the example here says, if you translate the documentation from French into English, which might be a very useful contribution to the project, it's not actually software engineering. So that's not going to count. But you're going to tell me in the first part of the assignment what you're planning to do. And if it's not appropriate, I'll let you know. So don't worry that you're going to do the wrong thing. And it's also the case that if in part two you decide you're going to do something else than you planned in part one, that's okay as well. But if you do that, then, and you're in any doubt about whether it qualifies, you should check with me. And I would encourage you to feed whatever you do back into the project. If you make some sort of code changes, you fix bugs, that sort of thing, you can submit them to the project owners, the administrators, for inclusion in the project. And lots of students have done that in the past. As I said, you should submit carefully using HTML. I think I've been through all of this. In terms of what you write, it's the quality is much more important than the quantity. It's a sign of not understanding something or having a disorganized mind if it takes you a lot of words to explain what you're doing. It's typically what people are doing is quite simple and can be explained in a short number of words. So clarity and brevity are the things you should be aiming for. And I don't care about grammar and spelling and things like that. It'd be nice if it's good, but is it clear is what I'm looking for. Okay, and then as I said, you'll get feedback by email with brief comments. And if you have some doubts about some particular aspect of your work and you'd like specific feedback on that, this, if you have these doubts while you're doing the work and when you submit, tell me in your submission, I wasn't sure about this particular bit and I'd appreciate some feedback on it, and then I'll try to do that. And depending on what it is, I'll include that in the email, or I might ask you to come and see me so we can kind of go through it in a bit more detail. And that's about giving you feedback for your benefit. It's not about me assessing you. And if you don't understand the feedback that you get, or you want to discuss it further, then you can, you know, make an appointment with me to do so. But I'm not going to enter into any discussions about the marks. Okay, now the strategy in this, some of you will be, you know, more experienced with these kind of projects, and you may be looking at what's available and say, well, you know, I could pick a package that is really quite simple and it's well within my capabilities, and I know exactly what I would do, and you know, and thereby I'd get a high mark. Or you could pick something that's more interesting, that you would learn something from, and maybe get a slightly lower mark. I would strongly encourage you to pick something that you will learn from, because that's the whole point of this, and that'll last you your life. Okay, yeah. So it's supposed to be this is supposed to be fun, and particularly if you work with each other. You know, help each other, I think you will find it is fun. So, I think that's probably about it. Yeah, we have about 10 minutes if anybody has any questions. Yeah, anything. It's just got to be Java, and it's got to have multiple, you know, authors. Well, it can be a mix of Java and something else, and you'll find some packages are, you know, Java and JavaScript and those, that sort of thing. But I'd like you to work on the Java part of it. If it turns out to be something where you say it's a Java and JavaScript package, and you need to do some JavaScript to complement the Java. Let's say you're providing a new controller for, you know, a web page. Then it's okay to do some JavaScript as well.
And we don't know if our project is taken unless we register.
Yeah, that's right. So the list of projects that are taken will be displayed when you go to the registration page. So. This list is going to get longer and longer as people register. So you can, if there's a project you want, you can just search the web page and see if it's already listed in there.
Can you choose for us?
Sorry?
Can you choose for us?
Can I choose for you? No, you need to do this yourself.
It's quite a broad choice.
Yeah, it is. I think if you have, you know, if you're thinking of looking at a project and you're not sure it's suitable for you, then it's perfectly okay to, you know, either post to the bulletin board or email me and say, I'm thinking of doing this. You know, I'm not sure if it's appropriate because of this, you know, I've only got these skills, or, you know, this is my background. Can you, you know, give me some advice? It's perfectly fine if you want to do that. Okay, I think that's probably it then. Hi. Oh, yeah. Great. I'll figure out on the website.
I'm a second year entry student.
You what?
I'm a second year entry.
Right. Okay.
Thing is, I'm having a job experience in the past. But this will be a basic, but no job, never touched a job.
Okay, so you've programmed in BASIC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't have very much programming experience at all. Yeah, okay. That's gonna be difficult. I'm not quite sure. Let me have a think about that.
I wanted to ask whether you could look at the project page of Firstforge and see and say whether it's suitable or not.
Yeah, sure. You mean right now?
Why don't you just
email it? Can you email it to me?
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
Great. That'll be great.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The reason I'm having a bit of trouble with this is learning to program is a sort of a semester level course. Now the thing is, as you go through, so what's your background? You came.
I'm a material science, management science.
You what?
I was doing management science
and math. In first year?
I was in France, and I transferred.
I see.
So I don't have a computer science background.
Right.
I'm more about math based.
Right, okay. Yeah. What I'm thinking about is whether I think you're going to need to know how to program going through, to get through this degree. So
I could learn, but yeah, in 2 weeks I'll be able to master Java in order to work on that sort of program.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems quite good.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing to do is to. Hi. I don't know what try and find a very simple package for you to work on. So let's see. So I think what you should do is you should take a look at the Java resources that are linked from the Software Engineering Inf2C SE webpage, and there'll be some Java tutorial material on that. And you should try to learn Java basically as fast as you can, which I'm sure you're planning to do.
Yeah.
Now there is a course that runs this semester that's not for second years, but it's an introduction to Java programming. And the way it's intended for MSc students who come in without very much, well, they know how to program, but they don't know how to program in Java. And that is delivered by, the lectures are all online. So you can watch the lectures, you don't have to go to the class if you want to. And
yeah. I learn, but I don't know if 3 weeks is enough. I'm afraid about the time.
Yeah.
Sports
well, in the first part of this, you don't need to do any programming. The first part of this.
The part that we can do on week 4.
Yeah, the part
on
week 4, you don't need to do
anything.
Yeah, so you have to explain what you want to do. Now, you do need to. be able to build the packet. So what this means is that you need to be able to download it, you need to load it into Eclipse, or build it from the command line. So those are all things that are independent of programming. You don't have to do any programming to do that. What you need to do is learn how to use Eclipse and that sort of thing, which you're going to need to do anyway. So you know, you don't need to do any programming for that. Basically, you need to, for question two, you need to sort of explore the project and describe what you've learned about it. And then for this part, you need to explain what you like to contribute. Okay, so you're not doing any programming there. It's only for the second part. So
you'll have to.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, this is due 14th of October. And the first one's due 14th of October, and I'll get a visa to proof by the end of August. But at that point, I would expect everybody to be working on it. So, you know, you need to have some Java on your belt by the end of October. Yeah, you have 5 points. The reason I mention the courses that we run for MSc students called Introduction to Java Programming, and you know, there's material on there are videos, the lectures on the web, which it basically follows a book called. It follows, and the stuff in the lectures is what's in the book. So you can do either way. But the other thing that course offers, what it really does, is there are labs and exercises that go through in the labs. So I think probably the thing to do is for me to see if I can get you into some of those labs. Because that's what. You know, that's what we need. You can play around yourself, but when you have a problem, you need someone who can. So why don't you give me your name? And I'll see. There are other university courses that are kind of introduction to Java programming as well, but. Oh, it's okay, it's fine. It's SMS. Okay. So, yeah. I'll see if I can get that and let you know.
I don't know if I think
Well, I'm sure you can, but you'll have a lot of other things happening too.
Thank you very much.
Well, I have two, but if you want to add your name. Oh, okay. Yeah, so just put your name on the student number. Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's sort of an essential part of what this class is about, is working with teams. I need to get off this. No, no. I mean, just a basic web page.
Oh, just
it's,
one.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, yeah, nothing. Okay. Hi. Yeah, I'm just. Yeah, it turned out the receiver. I'm using this. I want to use this clicker system.
Yes,
oh, right, yeah.
We do too. Yes.
Okay, so it turned out that the receiver that's supposed to be plugged in here, it disappeared. Anyway, so they plugged one in.
Someone?
Yeah, so they plugged one in.
Right.
And I just used it. It's fine.
And how do you use it actually?
Okay,
it's
well.
Through there and. Through
yeah.
There?
So if you log in, I'll show you.
Okay.
Well,
they had clickers already. You told me to get them.
You know, some of them already have clickers. They can if the ones who any who don't have clickers, they can get them from the library.
From the library, yes.
Yeah.
So choose the batches.
Well, there's different ways of doing it. Are you using PowerPoint?
No, that's the problem.
Okay, well that's okay.
You can switch off to whatever software they have. Right.
Yeah, you can run it. It integrates nicely with PowerPoint. I gather. I'm not using PowerPoint.
No, it is. It is.